Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Happy Father's Day to 32nd Ward Alderman Scott Wagaspack. We are about to unpack with Wagaspack. Happy Dad's Day to you.
Thank you very much. Likewise to all the you and all the fathers out there.
Thank you.
Everywhere across the city.
Thank you, thank you. So, no King's March. Let's talk about that. I think that it was successful if you, the barometer that you measure success by are the number of people that are there, but also that it was overwhelmingly, predominantly peaceful. And we're talking about the big one, but there were these little events all over the city of Chicago, Alderman. And out in the suburbs, there were events as well, too. Pretty overwhelming all over the country. My favorite is from Salt Lake City, where at a assisted living facility, all of the many of the residents came out in their using their walker or the whatever, and they had signs attached to their walkers as well. And I will say, from all accounts, their event was very peaceful. Were you happy with the way the city of Chicago handled things?
Oh, I thought it was outstanding. I think everybody that was out there, cheering on the speeches and bringing out their signs, exercising their First Amendment rights is the way that this country should operate. And, you know, I got to give a lot of kudos to the police department, too, because when you see the pictures, when you see the way they operate, they've come a long way over the years. You know, we've had to do reforms, but they've come along with it. And I think, you know, they kept public safety as the number one issue. I think they made sure that people could exercise their First Amendment right, and it worked out very well. And when you see the officers standing with people, walking with people, making sure that they could exercise our rights as Americans, that's the way it should be. And I thought it went very well.
Indeed. And I'm glad you mentioned what you just did, because I think that the Chicago police sometimes get a bad rap. And on occasion, it may be deserved, but overall, not the case. And like the Democratic Convention, which didn't make any news because nothing except I'm not talking about what happened in the United Center. I'm talking about outside the United Center. Really, nothing of any consequence occurred. And therefore, as I recall, there was no national news made. Part of that reason are the Chicago police, which are so well trained for this sort of thing. But I'll say police all over, first responders, all over the country as well. What do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, there were some arrests that were made. People were, you know, you're always going to have people on the fringes who, you know, are extremists, and they will try to incite on either side of the spectrum. I think they were trying to do it here and there at different events, but overall, I think people handled it very well. They cooperated with the police. I mean, you do see, obviously, a different situation in L.A., but just speaking to Chicago, yeah, there were some arrests made, but I think those were people who were deliberately provoking the police or provoking people who were just trying to, you know, make sure that their rights as Americans were exercised by speaking out against the president and, you know, either the parade or the ICE attacks and all this stuff that's going on. That's mm-hmm. their right to do it. And to see the police here in Chicago do such a great job at yesterday throughout the day. You know, and look, the police had tons of other stuff going on. They had the Pope's event at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
They had two soccer games. They had the Puerto Rican Fest. They had everything going on. So they were working, you know, triple time trying to make sure that everybody was safe. And I thought they did a fantastic job.
I absolutely agree with you. So I want to talk about the way you just put something. And that is in reference to, yes, the Chicago police did a great job. They did have a whole lot going on aside from that. And in truth, I don't remember what the point I was going to make. It was the way you put something. Aha! The ICE attacks. Eventually it would come to me, and it did. That's the way you said it. You know, so when ICE turns its efforts back to Chicago, is there anything that aldermen can do? You know, I mean, they could walk into your ward, into a restaurant. I don't know that there are too many factories per se in your ward, but my gosh, they went into a Costco, you know? And is there anything that you can do to help the residents in your ward?
Yeah, you know, what we've been doing, I think a lot of aldermen have been just making sure that people understand what their rights are. I think that both the city and a lot of organizations out there that deal with immigration rights are out and about making sure that people understand here are the specific things that you need to do. And that's the word that we've been getting out. And look, I have friends and family who are immigrants, people who've been in our military, who worked overseas for our country and later became citizens. And what we're seeing with ICE detaining Americans or detaining people who have a legal right to be here, I think, is disgusting. And the president knows that. I mean, obviously, he made an about face when he realized that, you know, raiding some of the golf courses or restaurants or some of the places is detrimental to his friends' bottom line. But really, we have to be on top of this and make sure that people understand what their rights are. I think the problem that I've been seeing with the ICE thing, and I know you don't want to dwell on it too long, is that, you know, a lot of these guys are masked up. They have no badges. They're driving non-official vehicles. And whether they're deputized or not, the fact that they're going after people and detaining people, without really identifying themselves is pretty scary for a lot of people. You know, when the police knock on your door, they have to identify themselves. They're wearing a badge. You can see their name and number. That's the way it should be, not hiding behind a mask and a president who doesn't understand what the Constitution is.
All right. So you said people need to know what their rights are, but that doesn't seem to make a difference. I mean, a U.S. senator, as we know, Senator Padilla in California was just handcuffed. Yeah. I mean, they let him go pretty quickly, but there was no detaining him. But still, imagine what's going on out there. I mean, people are saying, well, where is your – what are you arresting me for? What are you – and they're not getting any answers. So knowing what your rights are, I would argue, is helpful, but it doesn't – how helpful is it really?
Yeah, I suppose in a way it's – you know, they're not – until you actually have a lawyer in hand or, you know, almost after the fact, I've seen quite a few of these instances. I mean, otherwise, I don't know what people are supposed to do if again, you know, masked officers or so-called officers are coming in and grabbing them off the street. This is what we've seen with the president and a Republican Party that's gone too far over the top. You know, if you have warrants, if you want to arrest people, do it openly with the badge and the name that you know, should indicate who you are. I think just informing people to, you know, be careful and to watch out what they're doing, and I think to work in groups and work with different agencies to stay on top of this is the most important thing we can do right now. I don't know, you know, I don't think anybody has an answer for other than to get a new president or, you know, change the way things are. That's what we saw with the with all of the rallies yesterday was this is unacceptable behavior.
Yeah. We will be back with Alderman Scott Wagaspak. I want to talk about the CTA and what's happening, or maybe better put, what's not happening in Springfield for Chicago and what we may do. What's the next chess move strategically so the CTA gets funding? And will it even be called the CTA anymore? We'll be back with Alderman Wagaspak on WGN. Happy Father's Day to all of you and to 32nd Ward Alderman Scott Wagaspak. What are you doing today for Father's Day, Alderman?
Well, we're just kind of relaxing with the kids and making the kids breakfast. So
Hold on. They're supposed to do this for you on Father's Day.
Yeah, they're kind of helping along today. So we we did that, and we're going to get outside the rest of the day and do some fun stuff.
Fun stuff, he says. Well, maybe you won't hop on a CTA bus or the red line or the blue line or the green line or the purple line. I forgot one of the lines. I don't know which one. Because they're not, you know, I take the CTA all the time, and the ghost buses are still there. The safety issue may not be as much of a concern, but from one who takes the CTA all the time, I see stuff, you know. Yet, it's not being, not only do we need improvements concerning all these things, but we need funding for at least the status quo. Explain what's not happening in Springfield and where we are today.
Well, first, I would affirm that those ghost buses are still there. My staff takes those. I take the blue line quite often, you know, and we're very worried, like many of our constituents across the city who are saying, look, we need leadership in Springfield. If they're going to take charge of the governance reform and the transit funding as they wanted to, that they would pass a bill that would not only rename, you know, the whole regional transportation authority, but, you know, also find the funding mechanisms to move forward on that. So last week, as you probably know, the House of Representatives or the General Assembly did not vote on a bill that they put forward. And it was my understanding that they hadn't even met as a Democratic caucus or with the different caucuses to say, hey, the funding proposals that we are putting forward here are going to save not just the CTA, but Metro and PACE and get us through these potential major service cuts. And they failed to do that last week. So we're in even more critical moment than we were last year when a lot of us were pounding the table saying, hey, you know, to the mayor, you need to find people who are qualified to be appointees to the RTA and the CTA. We have a funding crisis. We have a public safety crisis on the trains. What are you doing? We thought the state was going to handle that, and they didn't get it through last week, so we're back to square one.
So to be clear, it was the Senate that passed, and the House at the state level did not pass it. Okay, so what happens?
My apologies.
No, you didn't. So what happens next? The mayor did go eventually down to Springfield, but it's unclear whether he talked about that. And I do have a concern that our governor, Governor Pritzker, is really not paying as much attention to that as he otherwise might. If he clearly, or let me rephrase that, apparently, let me rephrase that, suggestively, isn't focused on running for president. So Where does that leave us in Chicago? People, we're talking about millions who depend on not only Chicago, but the suburbs depend on public transportation.
Well, it leaves us in the lurch because you're right. Every day, thousands of people from different parts of the city are taking that every hour of the day. For many, they don't have vehicles. They don't want vehicles. And this is the only way to get around. It would shut down their ability to get to work. It would clog up our roads even more if, you know, tens of thousands of people an hour had to get in their cars and go find their way to work. So more and more people in Chicago have relied on the CTA, despite the fact that it's been falling apart for several years under this Dorval Carter administration of the CTA. I think Metro has been chugging along fairly well, but they're in dire straits as well if this thing doesn't get worked out. So, you know, a lot of people were opposed to this, a lot of organizations. A lot of this is done in an echo chamber down in Springfield, you know, where a lot of us in the city council are saying we need to see this thing get done. But you have, you know, elected officials down at the state level who sometimes we wonder, you know, what they're paying attention to. So a lot of us are saying, you know, we have to probably insert ourselves into the conversation here again and push the envelope to make sure this gets fixed.
Does that mean you and a contingent of aldermen will actually go down to Springfield to, if our mayor's not doing it or isn't being effective, how about 30 of you trucking down there, road trip?
Yeah, I've done that before with groups of aldermen in years past, and I think we're at that point again. You know, typically we're on the phone with our legislators. We're on the phone with the governor's staff telling them what our positions are. I think the mayor has not done a good job. The times he has gone down are almost after the fact, or they're too late, where he's got his hand out. At the same time, a lot of his fellow leaders in either in council or within the administration are poking, you know, the governor or people in the eye and then demanding money. They're just late to the game every time. So the leadership that we're lacking in the fifth floor, you know, that's obvious got to change in a couple of years. Otherwise, we're not going to get forward at all. But, yeah, I think a lot of us are going to be looking at going down there and saying this is what needs to get done. We know a lot of our constituents have been testifying, submitting testimony that mirrors what we've been saying. So we're probably going to have to step up and do it.
So I want to know exactly how this looks. Are you going to carpool? Are you going to rent a bus, a truck? And who's driving?
Well, we've done it in a van before. You know, I've been down there on the train with some people. I've been down there in a van where we drive together, or, you know, switch off or whatever. But no, it's really just working together to try to find a way to advocate for the right thing here. And look, I think everybody in Springfield knows this has to get done. The lifeblood of the state is the lifeblood that's coming from Chicago. I mean, the people that go to work every day are creating, you know, going to the businesses that create the jobs, that create the taxes, that keeps this economy moving, and we got to make sure that people are able to do that. That's one aspect of it. There's obviously many others, but that's going to be on us to really push the envelope here.
All right. I'll be looking for that invitation to join you. Maybe I can drive part of the way. I don't know. Alderman Scott Wagaspak, happy Father's Day once again, and I love speaking with you. This should be an official segment that we do, and we have been. Unpacking Chicago with Alderman Scott Wagaspak. You like it?
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Yeah, I love it.
All right.
I love it.
All right. Love talking to you. Thank you very much.
Hope you all have a great day. Thank you. Okay, thank you.